You know when your customers are shopping at your business and they pick up a product? The customer holds it, feels it, and shows it to their friend. Then they look at the price tag.
Oh my, I need to look at something else.
The customer picks up a second item and loves the way it looks. They've heard of this product, but haven't yet seen it in person.
I've got to have this!
You're happy the customer chose to buy a product, but you're equally frustrated that they didn't buy both items.
I want them both.
The Consumer Experience Lab at Barbera Solutions designs behavioral strategies that target the consumer's decision-making process. BarberaSolutions.com. Because the opposite of rational is not irrational. B-A-R-B-E-R-A Solutions.com. Why is the shopping cart always in the top right of the screen?
How do companies predict my purchases?
Why do prices end in 9?
Why do fast food companies use red and yellow in their logos?
Why do restaurants always have one expensive menu item?
Researchers, marketers, and very curious people seek the answers for how we make decisions and how we choose products. ClickSuasion finds the secrets that companies use and shares them with you.
Why do I feel better when I bought the last remaining airline ticket?
How do I make choices based on colors and fonts?
Welcome to ClickSuasion. This is your host, Michael Barbera. Today's guest is Jordan Goldberg. Jordan is the co-founder of Stick.com. Stick is a goal-setting website based on behavioral economics, research conducted by Yale economists Ian Ayers and Dean Carlin. Jordan's experience places him at the forefront of applied behavioral economics, harnessing social media trends, technology, and the power of incentives to help individuals create lasting change. Jordan has been frequently interviewed for both print and television media, appearing on NBC's Today Show, CBS News Sunday Morning, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and The Economist. Jordan's a graduate of Yale University with a bachelor's degree in American Studies, and Jordan is the recipient of Yale School of Management's Silver Anniversary Scholarship. Jordan, welcome to ClickSuasion.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So for the listeners who are not too familiar with Stick, tell us what is it?
So Stick is a publicly available, free-to-use website where anybody can come to the site and set and achieve their own personal goals, whether or not that is health and wellness related, personal finance, career, personal relationship, you name it. People come to the site and they can set and achieve their goals by attaching both incentives and accountability to their goal to ensure that they're going to succeed.
What are some common goals that users try to achieve on Stick?
So when speaking with respect to health and wellness, we see some tried and true goals. We see a lot of weight loss, exercising regularly, eating well, a lot of commitments around sleep habits. But outside of health and wellness, you know, we look into personal finance. We have a lot of commitments around spending and savings habits. Maybe it's saving for a rainy day fund. Maybe you're focusing on the behavior that's going to get you there, like committing to not go out and drink the premium coffee on your way to work and instead drinking the coffee that's provided for free at the office and to save yourself the $30 a week. We see a lot of commitments around career goals. So it could be commitments around making a certain number of sales calls each week. We see similarly a lot of academic goals around maintaining certain GPAs or commitments to study a certain number of hours or read a certain number of books or write a certain number of pages towards your thesis. We see a lot of goals around personal relationships. Maybe it's to call grandma once a week. Maybe it's to make sure you catch up with friends that are out of town on a somewhat regular basis. We see a lot of environmental goals around recycling habits and shopping with reusable grocery bags. So no matter how sort of mainstream or off the beaten path, we've really seen it. People run quite the potpourri when designing goals on our website.
Who's verifying that these goals are met? Who's the tattletale in the situation?
Great question. We actually have a very specific role for such a tattletale. It's called the referee. So when you create a commitment on Stick, and that's what we call our goals, commitment contracts, you can designate a third-party referee to verify your success. So each week when you come to the site, you report on your progress, and that progress report is sent directly to your referee. So that progress report could be whether or not you had your lights out at 11 p.m. each night, in which case your roommate or your significant other is going to make for a very logical referee. You might have a commitment to go to the gym 3 times a week, in which case the person that you work out with might be, or your personal trainer perhaps, might serve as a good referee. And they get that progress report, and then we take their word for it over your own. So if you say you were successful and your referee says, nope, no, you weren't. I saw you smoking after lunch at work, and that colleague is your referee, we take their word for it over your own, and we'll mark you as unsuccessful.
What are some uncommon or interesting incentives that have come across the website?
So in terms of incentives, the way the site works is on the consumer experience, users can actually put their money where their mouth is and literally say, you know what? You know, $100 says I lose 10 pounds in the next 10 weeks, and I'm putting up $10 on the line each week to meet that goal. And we take your credit card information up front, so it's binding. So this has real teeth. And users have three options for where their money can go. Their money can go to what we call the friend or foe option, so where your money is going to go to friend, family member, spouse, old college buddy, maybe somebody that's going to take your money and spend it on something that irks you if you don't succeed. Your money can also go to charity if you don't succeed, and we pool all the money. We send it off to a group of 501c3s that we think do good quality work both in the U.S. and abroad. And then we have the real kicker, which is what we call the anti-charity. And that's actually where we will take your money. If you don't succeed, we'll send it to an organization that you hate. So let's say you are pro-gun control. We send your money to the NRA or vice versa. We actually chose four or five highly contentious issues in common political discourse today with an organization on each side so that the user can choose the organization whose views are contrary to their own. Stick, of course, doesn't take a stance on any of these issues. We're here to help make sure you find something that really, really, you know, boils your blood, and then make sure that we use that as leverage to get you to complete your goal.
So, in motivating and motivating yourself to create behavior change, which is it—the charity, or the anti-charity? What's the ratio of success for each of these?
Sure. So as intuition might have it, the anti-charity is our most effective in terms of success rates. And as you imagine, when you send your money to a charity, there could be a little bit of a silver lining to not achieving your goal. Well, you know, at least it's going to go to a good cause, people might say to themselves. And actually, for that reason, we don't allow users to choose the specific charity it's going to go to because we don't want that silver lining to be too potent. So that's why we take the money and pull it off to a group of 501c3s that we work with. But for the same reason, for the anti-charities, we do allow the user to choose the specific organization because we do want it to resonate with them very personally, but in a very negative way. And so success rates are actually about 20% higher when choosing the anti-charity over the charity.
How does loss aversion come into play with behavior change and stick?
Sure. So the loss aversion really speaks to what I just described, which is the fact that users are literally putting their money where their mouth is. And if they don't succeed, their card gets charged in real time. So each week, you have to report on your progress. The majority of the goals are formulated around weekly progress reports. Not all the goals, but most of them. And by structuring the penalties on a weekly basis, it forces you to think about losses in real time. Because the problem with behavior change is that the consequences of your poor behavior, those costs that you're trying to avoid, are too far in the future to really impact your decision-making today. So what's the long-term costs of not eating well? Well, it could be diabetes, could be hypertension, could be heart disease, but that might not develop for 10, 20, 30 years down the road. But today, I want to watch another rerun of Modern Family rather than go to the gym, or I would rather order the cheeseburger than eat the salad because I'm going to act in my own short-term interests. Because people are much more likely to act in their short-term interests even if it's at odds with their long-term interests. And so what we're doing is we're bringing those long-term costs forward so that you feel them today in real time. Because now if you put $50 on the line each week to lose a pound each week on our website, that cheeseburger no longer costs you $5. It's going to cost you $55 because if you don't make your weight, we charge your card. So what we're literally doing is raising the price of your poor behavior, raising the price of your vice so that you make the right decision in real time today because the pain of failure is too great to not change your behavior. So you choose a price point at which failure no longer becomes a reasonable option for you because you need to avoid those losses.
How do we prevent individuals from conforming to their original behavior before they started the stick campaign?
I'm sorry, Michael, do you mind repeating that one more time?
Not a problem. So once an individual completes their stick campaign, and whether they're successful or not, how do we nudge or prevent people from conforming to their prior behaviors?
Sure. Now that's a challenge that stick faces that a lot of companies who are focusing on behavior change face. And so what we try to do is create maintenance goals. So for instance, if you have a commitment to lose weight, and let's say you've successfully lost your 10 pounds or your 15 pounds, whatever your goal may have been, we will immediately serve up a maintenance contract. So whatever your ending weight is, we will suggest a commitment to stay at or below that ending weight in perpetuity. And so people can continue to have that incentive in place, but you're not trying to continue to lose weight. Your goal is simply to maintain your progress. And so that not only applies to weight loss, but for a lot of other fitness goals, but also personal finance goals around your spending and savings habits. It's not just about creating that habit formation, but it's around creating frameworks for maintenance. So we do our best to always offer suggested maintenance goals to keep people on the steady and all the straight and narrow. But sure, there are times when people leave our site and we don't have control over them. And sure, there's of course a rate of recidivism where they have to come back and perhaps re-up on their goal. And we try to encourage people to stay in the fold, of course, through email reach outs and push notifications to make sure that we can always offer maintenance contracts wherever it's applicable.
So on your website, it states that 20 million cigarettes have not been smoked. First, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
How is that measured?
Sure. So when you're creating a smoking cessation contract, what we ask users for upfront to create a baseline is how many cigarettes that they're currently smoking on a daily basis. And then we do the math based off of how much time has passed since they've successfully quit and multiply that by the number of cigarettes that they had previously smoked.
So we're talking about smoking and we've talked about health and wellness several times. I'm going to make an assumption, and correct me if I'm wrong, that health and wellness are likely the most popular goals on stick. Is that right?
It's our bread and butter. I would say about 70% fall under the general category of healthy living and health and lifestyle, with the remainder around career, personal finance, personal relationship, academic, and environmental goals sort of rounding out the remaining 30%.
What are some of the weirdest goals that have come across Stick's platform?
Oh, well, I hope you don't have to bleep anything out. great question. So some of the more quirky or odd goals, we've seen a lot of commitments around reducing the amount of pornography viewing that people do. We've actually seen on that same theme, we've seen couples, husbands and wives, and committing to have sex a certain number of times each week to make sure that they stay intimate and stay present with each other. But we also have goals around committing to take anger management classes. I've seen a goal to learn how to use chopsticks. I've seen a goal to speak to foreigners more slowly. I've seen commitments to not call or text an ex. I've seen commitments to learn how to do stand-up comedy. I've seen commitments to go skydiving. So it's really fun to see imaginations run wild on our website and people use the platform in a manner that we never even intended.
So you mentioned that husbands and or spouses have used the platform together. So is it possible for two people to have a shared goal on Stick?
So it technically isn't oriented that way. The way it works is a user would create a commitment and then would make perhaps in this case a significant other the referee. And that referee then has not only has the ability to verify whether or not the commitment's been achieved in a case where they both need to sort of hold their end of the bargain, but also have access to view the commitment details and chime in on progress reports. So the referee can actually add commentary to each person's goal as they make their frequent updates on either a weekly basis or on a more regular basis.
So it appears that Stick has a design focus of two things, timing and correlation, and personalization. Could you elaborate some more on that?
Sure. So I think we talked about a little of this earlier, which is that the timing correlation of the incentive is really important. Because as I mentioned earlier when describing loss aversion, so people go to great lengths to avoid losses. Actually, the threat of losing something is 3 to 4 times as more powerful than the lure of gaining something of equal value that a user never had. But the correlation needs to be such that it is tightly timed with the actual behavior you're trying to change. So as we discussed earlier, those long-term costs of your poor decision-making today, let's say you didn't save properly for retirement. Well, I'm not filling that until 20 or 30 years from now. How can we bring those consequences to bear now so that the timing and the correlation of my behavior is closely associated with the reward or the consequence? And so by adding a physical cost, an actual dollar cost to not achieving your goal, you're closely associating the behavior and the consequence. And then the personalization piece comes to the fact that it's got to be motivated and tied to something that's related to your personality. And that's, for instance, where the anti-charity comes in to make sure that people can find a cause that is really anathema to them in particular. Or if you look at the friend or foe option, to really be able to choose an individual who perhaps you're a little bit competitive with, or perhaps is going to spend your money on something that really bothers you. And making that aspect of the incentive itself personal will also really add additional fuel to the fire in terms of motivation.
How is the STIC team, how is your team at STIC motivated or incentivized?
Our employees?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we actually have our own STIC challenges at the office where every 30 days, I actually challenge all of our employees to make a new commitment on STIC. Sometimes it's a personal commitment that they make, but sometimes we suggest that we all make commitments collectively together and support each other. So for instance, right now I have a commitment to use my standing desk for at least 4 hours a day in which I'm in the office for a full day. And it's been great to have the support of my colleagues who know very easily whether or not I'm sitting down at my desk. I don't have a private office. We have an open floor plan and they can ring a little buzzer if I sit down when I'm supposed to be standing. So having these challenges in the office has really kept everybody motivated to keep our focus on why we're here, which is to help people improve their lives, help them meet their goals. And the best way for us to do that is go through those exercises ourselves and make sure that we're hitting our own goals. And so it's not only about improving the lives of our employees, but having fun while we're doing it.
Are you standing right now?
Oh, unfortunately, I had to take this call in the conference room that does not have a standing desk. I didn't want the background noise and needed to abide by your guidelines.
You have about a few thousand referees right now just shaking their head at you.
I know. I can imagine.
So entrepreneurship in itself is behavior change. And of course, you double down on building a business around behavior change. What is your motivation?
So my motivation for this specific business is really a fascination with behavioral economics as a science. You know, entrepreneurship is something that's spoken to me for quite some time. And I had a couple of other small businesses before STIC. But when I came across the research of my two co-founders, Dean Karlin and Ian Ayers, who are both renowned behavioral economists at Yale, and looking at their study of incentive design and accountability and how it can induce behavior change, I just became enthralled. And I was a student of theirs, and I thought there's got to be a way to take these really compelling findings out of the academic environment and brought into the real world. And that was really the juice for me that really got me excited about bringing this forth. And then of course, once we launched, really getting those personal stories from a lot of our users about everything from a small change in their life to something truly life-changing was really motivating for someone to say that, you know, we had a user who wrote in, boy, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they said that, you know, they'd served in the Army for about 10 years, but as soon as they were discharged, their weight had really spiked. And in fact, this person had even lost their spouse in the process. And he wrote us a really heartbreaking story about how his life had spiraled out of control once he didn't have the discipline of the Army, and he started drinking and so forth, and how he used STIC to not only lose weight, but also to curb his alcohol problems and get onto a better career path as well, and ultimately reconciled with his wife, and he thanked us for it. And I was really blown away, and I didn't come out to necessarily be a martyr. I believe in doing well by doing good. But when you get those stories that are really personal and intimate about how someone's life has been changed by something that you do as your career, it's really empowering and it's really motivating. And that, going back to your earlier question about our employees and keeping them motivated, sharing those stories, we often print them out and put them up on the wall just so people are reminded why we're here every day, and that is to make people's lives better.
For the listeners who may be just getting into behavioral economics, behavioral finance, or behavior change, what are some books, articles, or authors that you would recommend?
Oh, boy, quite a number. So I'll first have to plug my own co-founder's book, Ian Ayers. He wrote the book Super Crunchers, which is a great novel, a great book on the subject. And he also wrote Carrots and Sticks, Unlock the Power of Incentives to Get Things Done. I also love Dan Ariely's work. He's out of Duke. He wrote the book Predictably Irrational. Highly recommend it. When you look at eating in particular as it relates to behavior change, there's a book called Mindless Eating by Brian Wansink. Highly recommend that as well. Anything written by Daniel Kahneman is great. He's got a denser book out right now called Thinking Fast and Slow. That's a great read. If you want something a little lighter that's not necessarily written by an academic, you can read some of Malcolm Gladwell's work like Blink, which sort of touches upon it, or you can read Michael Lewis's most recent book about the friendship between Dan Kahneman and Amos Tversky called The Undoing Project, which is a great primer and introduction without getting too much into the academic weeds. So there are a number of other books I can recommend, but in the interest of time, I'll start off your viewers with that list.
So what you're saying is you like to read.
I do. Well, specifically, as it relates to behavioral economics, I try to read every book I can.
Nice. What is next for you? What's next on Jordan's list beyond Stick?
Beyond Stick, that's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. You know, right now my linear focus is on making Stick a great success. I mean, I have to put it all. That's all into the company. That's what an entrepreneur is all about. I will say, as a little bit of a cheat to that answer, one thing that my co-founders and I have been doing a little bit on the side that's part and parcel with Stick is doing consulting work in behavioral economics. So what's happened over the years is we sometimes have a prospective client who wants to use our platform for employee behavior change, where we customize experience for their employees. And we have a lot of great clients and a lot of great success stories with clients using our platform. But sometimes a client will come to us, we'll tell them about the platform, and the platform doesn't end up being a great fit for them. But they really want to rely and leverage our behavioral economics expertise. So sometimes outside of the actual technology platform itself, we will consult and apply principles from behavioral economics to help them solve some of their challenges, whether or not it's an employee challenge internally or whether or not it's a problem with their consumers. And that's a great and fun way for us to flex our intellectual muscles as it pertains to behavioral economics without necessarily being constrained by the Stick platform. And so that's been a growing part of how we spend our time over the last few years, and perhaps that might be its own business one day.
So if a listener wants to talk to you about Stick, wants to talk about consulting, or just wants to call you out for not standing at your desk right now, how could they get in contact with you?
Sure. Well, I'm more than happy to field email inquiries. If people want to email me directly, I'm fairly responsive. Jordan, Jordan, at stick.com. And of course, that's STICKK.com. Please don't hesitate to email me. I'm more than happy to respond, and we can start a dialogue from there.
Outstanding. Jordan, thank you so much for being a guest today. We love having you here.
Michael, thank you so much for having me, and good luck with the rest of your week.
Likewise. For the listeners, go ahead and subscribe to ClickSuasion at iTunes, Google Play, or at ClickSuasion.com, and we'll let you know when the next episode is available.
Are you tired of being confused and frustrated by your business books? Do you want to do your own business bookkeeping but don't know where to begin? I can help. My name is Crystal Wombeck, and I am a certified bookkeeper. I'm the creator of the Simple Bookkeeping Program. This online, work-at-your-own-pace video course will take you from confused to confident when it comes to your business books. Log into accountingbycrystal.com and sign up today.
Thanks for listening to ClickSuasion. Subscribe to the podcast, read our research, and get in touch with us at ClickSuasion.com. You can also find us on Twitter with the handle @ClickSuasion.